who deserves to live? And it's like, if one person deserves to live, then everyone deserves to live. And if we can cure this, then we should.
Welcome to Proofread, a podcast to help you read more of what you love and less of what you don't.
Hello, welcome to Proofread. I'm Tyler, and with me as always,
Casey.
And we are here to help you think about what you should read next. Today, we're going to be reviewing a book that is called Everything is Tuberculosis.
Yes, by John Green.
By John Green. You might know John Green. John Green is probably, I would say, most like well-known because of a book he wrote called Fault in Our Stars. And it's kind of a medical, teen medical romance tragedy.
Kind of young adult. It's fiction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that was a really popular book, made a movie that was really popular. He also wrote before that another book that got made into a movie, Paper Towns. And then he wrote Turtles All the Way Down in 2017. But then he got right around COVID, a little before COVID, but then in the midst of COVID, he started a podcast that was really popular that's called The Anthropocene Reviewed, where he rates on a 5-star scale certain parts of kind of our modern life. And then he used some of that content from that he's generating from the podcast to write a book called Anthropocene Reviewed. And that was like the shift from writing these young adult kind of novels, fiction, to nonfiction. And this, I guess, would be his next nonfiction book. This is the most recent one. It just came out spring of 2025. The full title is Everything is Tuberculosis, The History and Persistence of Our Deadliest Infection.
Yes.
I was intrigued to kind of just pick this up because I didn't read Fault in Our Stars. I saw the trailers for the movie and I knew it was a popular book, but it was interesting to see like someone taking on a pretty serious topic, like everything is tuberculosis.
Yeah, I was surprised too because he makes the YouTube videos with his brother.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I thought, oh, maybe did the brother write this? But no, it's him. It's the him. Same guy.
Same guy. And he narrates it too. If you're an audiobook person, it's kind of like listening to a long podcast in that way because he kind of has the same tone. Have you ever listened to Anthropocene Reviewed podcast?
No, I haven't.
I mean, who listens to podcasts really?
I know. Why would you?
Why would you? I actually listened to it and just thinking about after I read this book, I was like, I want to hear what some of his stuff is.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. I would listen to that.
It's cool. They're short episodes and they're about like random things. I listened to the one on Hawaiian pizza. Which he did not rate highly, and I'm upset about it. And I'll try not to let that come through, because I'm a big Hawaiian pizza person.
Yeah. Try to keep that separate.
Yeah, I will.
You're a pro on pros. You can do this.
Sorry, that's a long wind-up for what you all came here for, which is the moment of truth. Casey, read or skip? 1, 2, 3.
Read.
We're in sync on this one.
We're in sync on this one.
Okay. Casey, let's talk about it. Why should we read it?
Okay. John Green makes an argument that the value calculus of health and how we value people should change, and the profit motives in healthcare should change. And it's persuasive. And because I was persuaded by it, I want other people to read it. I think this is something that needs to change.
This, to me, is one of those books that you're like, you have to say, yes, read this. Because if you were to say, no, don't read this, it would make me feel like a stone-hearted person.
Yeah. But honestly, I thought, I get this. I actually heard him talking about this. I'm like, okay, yeah, everything is tuberculosis. I liked it way more than I thought I would. Yeah. And I thought it's much more important than I thought it was.
Yeah. So the premise of a book like this is I'm going to take a big issue and I'm going to use narratives of people involved in this issue. And over the course of telling those people's narratives, I'm going to give you the whole history of tuberculosis and the current kind of stance on where we're at.
Right. Which is actually super interesting.
Yeah. And I think one of the benefits here is that you have like a fiction writer telling this story. So it's,
it's really compelling.
It's really compelling.
It's not that long and it's a very compelling read. And then it's also tied with a modern day story of a kid who has tuberculosis now in modern times, which is why he wrote this book, because John Green met this person.
Yeah, and some of the facts here are this idea that you and I, Casey, living where we live in the developed West, right? We don't think a lot about tuberculosis as a real, it's not coming up in our daily life.
Yeah, right? I probably was like, what is that? Oh yeah, consumption. Yep. Oh yeah, we've eradicated that.
Yeah, we got through it.
We got through it. That's an old one.
That's an old one.
I thought that. I actually thought that.
Yeah, and the point of this book is that point to say, actually, no. right? Actually, what happens is that when we solve something in the West and eradicate it here, that doesn't mean that it's solved everywhere.
Not solved everywhere.
And then unfortunately, what's happening is that people are continuing to suffer and die from things that are curable, but they have not been given the resources to do that.
Right.
And this book makes you wrestle with that reality.
Yes.
And in a way, I think that is a little bit overwhelming.
It is a little bit overwhelming.
To read this book is overwhelming of the like significance of the structural problems in place of healing something that is healable, right? Curable maybe is the right word. I don't know.
Yeah. But I learned a lot too because, I mean, I kind of know, yes, third world countries have it harder and they are suffering from things that we don't suffer from in the more privileged country. But I learned a lot about, like, he explains how sometimes humanitarian efforts, you know, weaken health structures there because they're only funded halfway. But he actually explains how these half measures are actually making it worse. For example, literally a half measure, you know, they give the cheapest dose for tuberculosis, the cheapest that's basically effective. And that's actually, instead of just giving like what you or I would get would just be like a strong dose. They get this, the cheapest one that kind of works. That's something I didn't understand.
Yeah. I think that to read a book like this, especially one that's called Everything is Tuberculosis, he does his best to say, here's the history of it, here's the progression of it, and here's the current thing, right down to here's the current.
How much it costs, how much, what the markup is.
Yeah.
And that's really his argument. That's really the like takeaway of is, you know, you need to go to tbfighters.org and we need to put pressure on drug companies and things like that. And this can change. It is changeable. But this isn't, you know, sometimes we say skip for some of these nonfiction ones we've read and say, well, this should have been an article.
Yeah.
And I think if this had been an article and if he had just started with that, his argument builds with this story of Henry, this poetic, kind, outgoing person. He talks about consumption as being this disease that like Keats had and the Bronte sisters have. It's like romanticized in the olden days and it actually makes you thin and you're poetic, and that's why it's Everything is Tuberculosis. There's a little bit of these historical notes that are interesting. And then you see the stark contrast, and I buy into that. I studied the Romantics, and I remember that, oh, yeah, they all had consumption, and it was, like, so beautiful. Their faces were so thin and rosy-cheeked. I kind of bought into that, and then I realized Henry is a poet, too. He's sharing Henry, this modern-day, this person from Sierra Leone. He's the same. Why do we see it differently? You know, he really illustrated that with his examples. And so that made me, it's just super persuasive. It just makes a really good argument.
I liked this line here I want to read. He said, he's talking about people kind of supporting this cause. And he said, it reminded me that when we know about suffering, when we are proximal to it, we are capable of extraordinary generosity. We can do and be so much for each other, but only when we see one another in our full humanity. Not as statistics or problems, but as people who deserve to be alive in the world.
And he says, you know, tuberculosis has shown like the horror of humanity, but the beauty of it too. How nice you can be and how awful it is, you know, like drowning of fluid in your lungs and things like that.
Yeah.
And also, who deserves to live? And it's like, if one person deserves to live, then everyone deserves to live. And if we can cure this, then we should. And then I wanted to ask you, Tyler, how much do you think a person is worth?
I'd say like $13.99.
Okay. Well, that's about what a dose of this drug
You're
costs
right, actually.
In Sierra Leone. And you might think, well, only $13. But then you realize, this is what I didn't know. You're like, well, just send more money. That's like half of the healthcare the whole country spends on a person every year. And so even if it is only $13, and I know you're joking because people are worth more than that.
But $15.
You happen to mention that exact amount. And so it isn't even just necessarily about, well, let me send some money over there, you know?
Okay. When you think everything is, what do you think comes next after that when you hear that word? For me, it's the Lego movie.
Awful.
No. The Lego movie says, everything is awesome.
Oh, awesome.
Right? Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Right?
Yeah.
And there's this sense of, in the Lego movie, which we're talking about now, right? Mm-hmm. Is this like, everything's great, everything's fine, right? And then everything's not awesome is like where it kind of shifts.
Yes, yes, right? Yes.
You're picking up a book like this, and it's like, everything's not awesome. Everything is actually tuberculosis, right? Like, it's kind of like you're picking up a bummer, you know?
Yes, I actually think many things are terrible.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of problems in the world, you know, just disease, hunger, poverty. Yeah. So I already know that. and picking this up, I see what you're saying. Like, am I going to be overwhelmed or, you know, compassion overload?
Yeah.
How do I, it can't solve all these problems. So what do I do?
Right.
That's
the question for me.
But I actually find this, it's surprising. And I'm surprised when I say this, beautifully written, makes you think about humanity, makes you think how much is a person worth or how much is your hearing worth?
Yeah.
Henry loses his hearing in one ear. And I'm like, how much is that worth? Like, how much money would I pay for my hearing in my one ear? You know, because they are, you know, they are figuring these things out when they're figuring out how much they pay for drugs. I think it's encouraging because here's something amidst everything that is hard that is pretty easily solvable. It's curable. TB has been curable since the 1950s. It's just some social structures. And then he says, and we're the problem now. It's not even the bacteria or whatever. He explains it all. It is pretty interesting. It's kind of gross, too, how it makes tubercles and it's like a thick, waxy thing.
The book doesn't do that. Tuberculosis.
Tuberculosis does that, but it does explain it. But he's saying, at this point, we're the problem. It's not even the bacteria. We know what to do about it. It's all these other things. And so in that way, I can see why you might want to avoid it. Like, oh, another thing. But it is upbeat.
Yeah. A very hopeful.
It's hopeful.
In the midst of talking about something that's, you know, as he says, like the persistence of our deadliest infection. Tuberculosis has been around for thousands of years, and it's just been our deadliest infection. And he said it was off-seeded temporarily by COVID-19 for like a year or two
years. But then this caught up.
And then tuberculosis caught right back up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of the jarringness of it, is that sense of we all stopped talking about COVID as soon as the vaccine came out and we're, you know, COVID's in the past now. And one of the things that he says about this is like COVID's not in the past for a big portion of the world.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And I think that for me, the response to that question of like, am I just picking up a bummer here, you know, is if we're not informed about really what's happening in the world, right? Like if we're really not informed about it, then we're going to be rising into positions of influence from talking to our own children to maybe I have a role in some kind of actual organization without that knowledge in a way. And so for me, what you're balancing here is not just like, I'm going to read about something that's difficult, right? But you're also saying I'm going to gain a lot of perspective on a world problem.
Yeah, that's for sure true, because it isn't just like, oh, yeah, I know that's a problem. It's so hard where poor people live. It explains how it happens, the things that could change that we could do differently. It offers solutions. And so it's pretty hopeful. And then it's just this constant reminder of like the quote that you read. We are all humans. We're all people. We all deserve this, you know?
Yeah, there's a moment here where he talks about, like, in the sense of what can a book do, right? Mm-hmm. There's a moment where he's doing some research, kind of finding out that he finds about this kind of tuberculosis activist in India, who she's trying to raise support at the Supreme Court kind of level, right, of saying we need to not...
Evergreen patents.
Yeah, we need to not recognize these patents, because as soon as we let these patents go, then we can produce...
Make generics.
We can make generics and produce this.
It's an easy solve.
And save this problem, right? And so she took this up to the Indian Supreme Court and kind of got it approved, you know?
Right.
But he found out later, it was unfortunately too late for her to benefit from the treatment. She ended up dying.
Mm-hmm.
But he found out later that his book, Fault in Our Stars, was really important to her.
Yeah.
Right? Like she felt very seen as a child and adolescent growing up and being
with a disease.
With a disease, right? And in and out of hospital, right? Like that was really important to her. And so he talks about this experience of like when you write a book, you send it out there. And this is how he says it. He says, it is a bit like that old children's pool game, Marco Polo, where one person closes their eyes and swims around the pool trying to tag someone else. Marco, the person with eyes closed, says, and the other pool goers have to answer, Polo. Marco, 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 cries one kid, and the others reply, Polo, Polo, Polo. Writing is like that for me. Like I'm typing Marco, Marco, Marco for years, and then finally the work is finished and someone reads it and says, Polo.
Right? Yeah.
And he talks about like...
That's so good. He's a great writer.
Yeah. I like this idea of... You read a book like this because you are saying Polo to the one person saying Marco.
Right.
In terms of content, I don't think that there's anything. I mean, it talks about the medical experiences that people go through. I don't know if I would use the word graphic.
It's not graphic. It's not gory. I mean, TB is not pleasant. That's for sure.
Yeah.
It's not that horrible to read.
I'm a little squeamish, I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. And I didn't find myself squeamish reading this, even though it's a it's an icky kind of experience that the people are going.
No gore, no language.
It is designed to be a good general read for people that they get introduced into a serious problem.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And it's effective. He does it.
Yeah. And I think that it gives you a lot of hope, right?
It does.
There's a sense in which several of the characters in here, you see their faith really sustaining them
mm-hmm.
and the experiences that they have.
Yeah.
Right. And some of it, faith plays an important role in the way that they approach treatment.
Yeah, that's right.
Like one of the main characters is dad is kind of like, I think we should just leave this up to God,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And then the mom is like, we need this medicine. And so there's this family navigating conflicting ideas. And there's one kind of standoff moment where the dad comes into the hospital and is kind of like, I'm going to take my kid out of here, right?
Yeah.
And we've talked about this in other books that we've discussed together, right? But the way that your faith gets wrapped up in your medical journey.
Yeah.
And responding to things like this, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Casey, if you were to put this on your bookshelf, where would you put it?
I would put this on the Do Something About This shelf. You got to read it, and we got to fix this.
I think that's a good
shelf. And we can.
I like that shelf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do Something About This.
Yeah, right? For sure.
Yeah. I would say this is similarly. Do Something About This shelf, or like, this is on my important topic.
It's weird to say it, but it's a very entertaining read.
Yeah, it is someone who has the powers of writing put to really good use.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
Well, John Green, really good writer yourself. You've been proofread. I want to say proofread sometimes. That's why I'm like, wow, you know, reread how it's...
Proofread is better, though, I think.
It is. I like proofread.
It's what we did.
Much better.
Proofread is a production of BYU Radio and is produced by Jeff Simpson, with help from Erica Price, Becca Hurley, and Lisa Valentine Clark. Find us on YouTube at Proofread Podcast for video clips and more. And please follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Thanks for spending your time with us today, and happy reading.